Well, we all need power. We need power in the morning, maybe the power of a cup of coffee to get us awake. We need the power of PowerPoint to do our presentations at work. We need power of electricity on the tube to get us back home. We need the power of rippling biceps if we go to the gym to try and sort of push some gargantuan machine. We need the power of, Radox bubble bath to ease our aches and pains after a hard day's work. We all need power. And last week, if you were here, we looked at a prayer earlier in Ephesians chapter 1, which was a prayer for knowledge that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Christians in Ephesus. And here in chapter 3, it's a prayer not so much for knowledge as a prayer for power. And you'll see actually that Paul mentions that word power three times. So verse 16 is the first mention of it. He says this in verse 16. He says, "I pray that out of God's glorious riches he may strengthen you with power." Second mention of it is in verse 18. So verse 18, he says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints." And then the third mentions verse 20. He says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." So it's a prayer that is all about power. And the question really for us this lunchtime is, what is this power that Paul is talking about? What is this power? Up on the screen there, you've got... don't fill your back in science lessons here. I hope you won't fill that. But you've got a red box, okay? The red box can represent anything, but with anything. You've got a power input, inputting into the whatever it is. You've got a power throughput within the object, and then you've got a power output that comes out of the object, okay? So take my children's Christmas presents. I brought two of them along. I hope they won't distract too much. First one, Boaz, age 3. He got a Buzz Lightyear laptop. What is the input of power in that? Well, I think it's 3 AA batteries. Okay, that's the input of power, 3 AA batteries. What is the throughput of power? Lots of annoying sounds and weird sort of Buzz Lightyear phrases going on. That's the throughput of power. I'll turn it off now before it causes chaos. And then what is the output of power of this? I guess the output of power is probably a son that, well, you'd hope that a son that's mega intelligent with all these different games on the laptop, but it's the output's a son that starts talking like Buzz Lightyear, which would be rather annoying. But anyway, or Daisy. Daisy's age 5 now. She got, this may be rather inappropriate, I couldn't get many more clothes for her. She got a Barbie, okay, for Christmas. And Barbie and a swimming pool and a whole load of dogs that swim in the swimming pool. I only brought one of the dogs, but what's the power input for the dog? You wind up its tail like this. Okay, that's the input. So there we go. That's the input. What's the throughput? The dog wiggling like that through the swimming pool. Very useful. I mean, great. And the power output, I guess it's a daughter that's over-influenced by commercial glitz and shiny swimsuits. So those are those two toys. The input of power, throughput of power, output of power. But the question for us is, what about the Christian? What about the Christian? When it's us under analysis, not Buzz Lightyear or Barbie's dog, but when it is the Christian, whether that's the Christian in Ephesus in AD 60, or whether that's the Christian at All Souls Midweek in 2011, Paul's prayer here, I think it shows us what our input of power is, our throughput of power, and our output of power. So firstly, verse 16, I think, tells us the power input. Verse 16 says, "I pray that out of God's glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So it says there that the power input into us, the power input is the work of the Holy Spirit at work in our inner beings. I think two things need to be said about that. Firstly, the fact that the input of power into our lives is the Holy Spirit, it reminds each one of us that any lasting positive change that's going to take place in our lives will not come about by us just trying really hard in our own strength. Now, anyone here who's made a New Year's resolution and has already broken it countless times is testimony to that. We need a power that is at work inside of us, but a power which actually comes from outside of us if any real lasting change is going to take place in our lives. And that is God, the Holy Spirit, at work in us. The second thing to really say about this is what is that power of the Holy Spirit, that power input, what does it actually look like? What does it look like? I mean, some might say that the Holy Spirit is at work inputting power into us as we hear a sermon that has a real impact on us. Others might say that the Holy Spirit is at work inputting power when someone prays for us, perhaps particularly during a time of prayer ministry. Others might say that the Holy Spirit is at work in us, inputting power into us when we're bowled over again by the wonder of the gospel, when we're singing or when we take communion. Others might say that the Holy Spirit is at work, inputting power into us when we produce ecstatic utterances or strange physical manifestations. So rather than sort of speculate as to what this input of power looks like, what this work of the Holy Spirit looks like, rather than speculate, let's just read on to verse 17 and see what Paul actually says. This is how he continues. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And then here's the answer. What does it look like? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that word dwell, it's a really strong word. It's all about taking up residence, about settling down, about making a home, dwelling. In other words, the prayer is that we become, each one of us, we become places more and more where Christ feels comfortable, where Christ is at home in us, where he dwells. I wonder if each one of you can think of that place that you like to go to relax, where you like to go to chill out, to dwell, where nothing offends you, where nothing's irritating and uncomfortable, where you can just be totally relaxed. Perhaps a holiday spot that you go back to again and again. Perhaps a really comfy chair at home that you just sit in at night when you're tired. But the prayer here is that our hearts would be like that holiday spot or like that comfy chair to Jesus. In other words, we can know that the input of power into us, in our lives, is the Holy Spirit. If the result is that we are becoming more and more a place where Christ feels comfortable. If we are becoming more and more a place where Christ is happy to dwell, where we're becoming more Christ-like. So the power input into us, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. How about the power throughput? What's that? I think it is the love of Christ. Look at second half of verse 17, if you would. Second half of verse 17 says, And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. The power throughput, it is the love of Christ. Rico Tice, he often quotes Victor Hugo, who once said this. He said, the greatest happiness of life is the conviction that we're loved. You've probably heard Rico say that a number of times here, if you've been coming for a few years. He quotes it. It's a great quote. Victor Hugo, the greatest happiness of life is the conviction that we are loved. But the thing is that what happens is we look to all sorts of different people to get this conviction that we're loved. Now that's not wrong, of course, but for me it's wonderful to know Susanna, my wife, loving me in our marriage. It's wonderful to know the love of my children, the love of my family, my friends. But we're reminded here that rather than looking to these people to fulfill all our need for love, actually, I need to be looking to Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, all other human beings will let us down. They won't give us all the love that we want and we need. Susanna, she's a brilliant wife, but she's not perfect. Daisy, our five-year-old, when I asked her the other day, I asked her to do something, and she just stood there, hands on hips, and she said, Daddy, you're a bossy boy. And she refused to do what I said. I mean, honestly. My mother, we went and stayed with my mother and my father on Christmas Day. And I had a severe case of man flu on Christmas Day. And I was feeling absolutely rough. And my mother just told me just to pull myself together, stop being such a wimp, and just soldier on. You know, we don't always get all the love that we want, that we need. No human actually can perfectly ever fulfill all our need for love all of the time. But Jesus Christ, he can and he does. This wide and long and high and deep love of Christ for us that Paul writes of. It's love actually that is wide enough that it encompasses every single one of us here and indeed every nation and race in this world. It's love that is long enough that it stretches back before the creation of the world and it lasts right into eternity. It's love that is deep enough that it reaches even the person who feels that they are as far away as they possibly can be from God because of how they've lived their life. And yet it is love that is high enough to take you and I to heaven if we will only accept the one who is showering this love on us. This is a power that we all need to be at work through us. A power to grasp how long and high and wide and deep is the love of Christ. The love that was demonstrated most supremely on a cross outside Jerusalem as Jesus gave his life in love for each one of us. The power throughput, it is the love of Christ. And then finally, the power output is the glory of the Father. The glory of the Father. At the start of the prayer, we read that this is a prayer. It's a prayer to God the Father. And here in verse 20, as we get towards the end of the prayer, Paul finishes by praying that our Father, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, it says, according to his power that is at work in us, may he receive all the glory. So the striking thing I found when I looked at this and was preparing the talk, the striking thing I found was, where does this glory of the Father come from? See, verse 21, the last verse, it doesn't say, to the Father be glory in Christ Jesus forever and ever, amen. It says more than that. It says, to the Father be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. The Father is glorified through the church. That's us, the people. The amazing truth is, that the power of God at work in you and I, changing us, it should lead to an output of greater glory going back to the Father as people see the difference that God makes in our lives if we're here as Christians today. As I think back to when I first came to All Souls, which I think it was 8 years ago now, it's a long time. And I remember the very first Christianity Explore course that I helped with. And in the group that I was in, there was one guy called Alex who was in his 20s, and he was a nice guy, but he asked lots of difficult questions. He was pretty anti-Christian things and was quite sort of just awkward and wanting to ask the difficult question. And as the course went on over the 10 weeks, there were little changes in Alex. Nothing amazing, but little changes, a little more interested in thinking about the things of Jesus. And it got to the end of the course, and he really, he hadn't made some sort of clear commitment to Jesus, but I didn't really know where he stood. And the course finished, and soon we lost touch. And 6 months ago, I started working at Holy Trinity Brompton Church just down South Kensington, and who should I bump into but Alex? And there was Alex, and he was looking happier. He was looking sort of more jolly and more content with life. And he came bounding up to me and said, "We must meet up for a coffee and a cake." And we met up, and it was amazing as I heard him talk. How he talked about how this Christianity Explore course that I'd be on in the group with him 8 years previously had been the start of him thinking about God, thinking about Jesus. And it had led him at some point to actually make a commitment to Jesus. And he now, 8 years on, he has this real love for Jesus and this real love for wanting to serve Jesus. He's now leading a home group in the church. He's been leading on the Alpha course. He's been inviting his friends and colleagues to come along too. One of his friends came along, happened to be in the group that I was helping with, and she's now part of the home group that me and Susanna are leading. And it's just amazing to just see what has happened in Alex's life. All started with actually quite a difficult time in that Christianity Explore group, and not really knowing what was happening in his life. But it's wonderful. It's given me such joy to see him and see his life a little bit over the last 6 months, because I've seen something of this power output. Through Alex's life, glory to the Father. The Father being glorified through Alex's life. And it'd be wonderful for that power output to be so dazzling in each of our lives too, this year. In our workplaces, in our homes, in all of life. For each one of us to know the input of power as we are strengthened by the work of the Holy Spirit. For each one of us to know a throughput of power as we grasp the love of Christ. And all that so that we might know an output of power in our lives as our lives that we're living to the glory of the Father. As I close, I'm certainly not the Apostle Paul. But just as Paul prayed this prayer for the Ephesian Christians, he prayed it for these Ephesian Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, who were very dear to his heart, but who he didn't actually see that often. So as I close, I'd love to pray this same prayer now for each of you, the All Souls Midweek Christians. Brothers and sisters in Christ, who are very dear to my heart, but who actually now I don't see that often. And I'd be grateful this year if ever I happen to come up in your mind, you pray this prayer for me as well. So shall we close and let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for every single person gathered here this lunchtime. Lord, I pray that each person here would be strengthened by the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that each person here would grasp the love of Christ, that high and wide and deep and long love of Christ for them. And I pray for each person here that as your Spirit works in them, as they increasingly know the love of Christ for them, I pray, Father, that you would work in them and through them. Pray you would work in each and every person here, even this afternoon in their workplaces, that they might live to your glory, to the glory of you, our Heavenly Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.